Kevin Fishbane.
I got Fishy Business, K. Fishbane.
Fishy Business?
Fishy Business. What I call him whenever I have him on the show. Fishy Business.
Bears beat writer for The Athletic.
Obviously, sports radio of the year in the state of Illinois. You don't get that by accident. He does a wonderful job for those guys.
I'm not leaving to cover the Detroit Lions.
All right, well, good.
Kevin Fishbane talking Bears.
Hey, Kevin. Kevin Fishbane from The Athletic.
I love your name.
It's a great name.
Yeah, great name.
On Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
This segment with Kevin Fishbane is sponsored by the Illinois Department of Transportation. It's not a game, Illinois.com. And by Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric for all the right reasons. Call 866-4-SEASONS. We've done, what, Four Seasons has done two air conditioners and a furnace for our house.
I'm just kind of upset you didn't sing it. You just said it. But that, you know what? That's fine.
You don't want me to sing. When Ruthie Polinsky is in, she'll
then we'll have her. Okay, because, that makes sense.
Because that was if she, you know,
look, the show choir background, the choreographer of the show choir. Those are what we call credentials.
2 days in a row, she was killing it. And by the way, thanks to the folks at Prue and Circa for yesterday. What a delightful day!
Such a good time.
Yes, a really a good time, and great. Thanks for everybody who came up and said, "Hey, good to see some of the regulars." I see Mario from Hyde Park stopped by. And was it Gail V's?
Oh, yeah, Gail V's. Best grilled cheese ever.
That grilled cheese is outstanding. So let's talk to Kevin Fishbane on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. You can follow him on Twitter, at KFishbane, twitch.tv/Chicago670, The Score. Fishy Business, how you doing?
Happy Friday, guys. Good to be on with you.
Was it your question about adjustments to which Matt Eberflus said, I'm speaking directly to D'Amico Ryans, that's a joke?
No, I think that was a Mark. That was the Mark Potts.
Ah, right, it's Potsy. Okay,
yeah, who got him on that? But yeah, you know how it is, Dan. We don't want to uncover any state secrets out there at Hallis Hall.
No, just you got to tell your guy Flusy though. You just got to tell him pause. People will get it's a joke if you step in that quickly and say it's a joke. You're not going to let people figure out it's a joke.
You know, there's evolutions to this, right, Dan? There's the hair. There's the, you know, comfortability in front of the media. Let's get the timing on the jokes can be the year four storyline for training camp next summer.
Got it.
I feel like that's the final frontier. If you can get the timing with the jokes, now everyone in the room is more comfortable and we're all having a conversation rather than grilling the head coach.
I just think it comes out. A priest and a rabbi walk into a bar, right? 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 So eventually we'll get there.
Dewani, yes.
How much does the outcome of this game mean for the Bears relative to the quality of their play?
Yeah, it's a great question, Dan, because like if the Bears lose 27-24 and Caleb Williams throws two touchdown passes and is efficient, like I feel like Bears fans should be pretty good with, you know, okay with that, right? Like it's all about how. What leads to the result. Is this team able to show improvements week one to week two? So I do think that you look at a formidable opponent on the road. Houston, this is their first Sunday night game in 5 years. In that same time span, the Bears have played several. They've lost all of them, but they've played many of them. So it's going to be a raucous environment. It's just one of those games that, like, you know, I feel like so much of this season could be encapsulated in a game like this where you're like, let's see the process play out. Now, if this game, Dan, was in week 15 and the Bears were one game out of a playoff hunt, that would obviously have a, you know, different, you know, it'd be a different narrative. But week two, second week with this offense, you got injured wide receivers, like result versus how you got there. Like you want to see the improvements. And if you see those, you might be okay. You're never okay with a loss, but you might be like, okay, at least we're seeing this thing going in the right direction.
You talked about the injured wide receivers. If Romo Odunze and Keenan Allen can't go in this game, what do you expect their personnel to look like on Sunday? And how much is that going to be a challenge for Caleb Williams?
Yeah, it's funny, Marshall, because you look back at last week and they only had essentially four active wide receivers. And now two of those four, as you mentioned, could be inactive for Sunday night. One of the things the Bears talk about a lot is Gerald Everett in terms of him being a bit of a mismatch. He could play kind of like a wide receiver. So do we see more 12 personnel sets if they can't go? Do we see more 21 personnel in the flip side where you've got DeAndre Swift and Khalil Herbert on the field, or DeAndre Swift and if Roschon Johnson's healthy. So, you know, the whole goal of this offseason in terms of adding skill players and skill talent around Caleb Williams is to offer Shane Waldron some flexibility that if you lose guys like that, you should be able to go to. But there, look, let's be honest, there's a massive drop-off in ability from those two receivers and who's next on the depth chart. You know, the thing about DeAndre Carter is if you look back at Carter's career, his best career season came with the Chargers, where he was with Chris Beatty, who's the current Bears receivers coach. So he's familiar with the system, with the scheme. He can play any receiver spot, which they like. But obviously, that's not a game breaker like a Keenan Allen, Romo Dunze. Tyler Scott, we know he's got the speed. There was a reason he was inactive in week one. They did not have a role for him in the offense in that game. So there are going to have to be some flexibility, some creativity if those guys don't go. And really, kind of buried the lead here, guys. You got to run the ball. Like, you've got to find a way to run the ball successfully for so many different reasons. Takes pressure off Caleb Williams, puts pressure on Texans defense, sets up, you know, different things in the passing game, keeps C.J. Stroud off the field, on and on and on. It's the old football cliche. But you look at the Bears last week, did not run the ball well. And this is a game, if you're missing even one of those guys, more emphasis on running the football well.
Matt Bowen said it yesterday. We were talking to him, and he said the best way to slow down a fierce pass rush, especially from those edges, is in the screen game. And he said to the running backs, too, he said, not wide receiver screens. He said, good old-fashioned running back screens. He said, you used to talk about screens and draws. Draws aren't used as much anymore. Do you agree?
I do. Well, first of all, Dan, I would never disagree with Matt Bowen.
You're allowed. Technically, you are allowed to disagree with Matt Bowen. Of course, he's not going to hurt you.
I'll disagree with you guys all the time, but I'm not going to disagree with Matt.
Okay.
No, I do agree. And I was thinking about this earlier in the week because, you know, that was one of the stories at training camp was DeAndre Swift as a pass catcher, that this was an element that he was going to bring to the offense that we just hadn't seen in a couple of years from that position. And if you picture some of these wide receiver screens and then think about a Will Anderson or a Danielle Hunter as the guy in the way of those screen passes, that does not sound like an advantageous spot. Now, I've seen Caleb Williams do some wild things with his arm angles to get passes around guys like that. But this is a little different than being on the practice field. So I agree. I think you can set that screen game up with Swift. Herbert can run it too. You've got options there. And that keeps Hunter and Anderson honest and keeps those guys from, you know, pinning their ears back. I'm trying to see how many football cliches I can get done.
No, keep them rolling. I'm counting.
I'm rolling. It's week two. Here we go. We're in it. But yeah, I mean, again, this is why you bring in DeAndre Swift, so that he has the versatility to be involved in this type of passing game to help out your offense.
So you brought up DeAndre Swift. We talked about the running game. I'm so concerned about the offensive line on the interior. I know the challenge may be not as stiff as it was week one against the Titans, but what's your confidence level that they've got this thing figured out with the center guard position? And how much is that affecting what you're talking about when you're talking about establishing the run?
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of ways you could look at it too, Marshall, because you could say it can't be worse, right? Like, you know, you could go down that path. I think I'll use Tevin Jenkins as an example. I think Tevin Jenkins had a couple snaps where you're like, that's the Tevin Jenkins we know. That's the Tevin Jenkins who could get a big contract extension to the bye. I think there were a few snaps that Tevin Jenkins would like back, right? So you know his track record. You know he can be better. You know, Coleman Shelton, first game at center with this offense, with this scheme. I don't know if the Bears underrated Tavondre Sweat. I know I wasn't really thinking a ton about Sweat as I was going through this game last week. I mean, you knew he was going to be a big part of defense. He was unbelievable. So, like, as you said, Marshall, like, this is not the same interior line the Texans have. I think Sweat was outstanding last week, so maybe that plays a role. What's interesting is, so Ryan Bates did not practice yesterday. And in about an hour, we'll get the full injury report. We'll see where he's at. Because I wondered if they just need Ryan Bates to get to fully healthy and in game mode to put out whatever offensive line they prefer. I don't know if that's Bates at center and Davis at right guard. I don't know if that's Bates at right guard and Coleman Shelton center. That's my guess. But if he's not playing, you know, you could look at it if you want to go glass half full. This is a big opportunity for Nate Davis to prove himself. And I can understand why that would make fans bristle, because they've probably seen enough of Nate Davis. But I think the Bates injury is throwing a wrinkle in a lot of this in terms of what they want to do. But I do believe that you should see more consistent play from Tevin Jenkins. We know he's capable of it. And I would expect Coleman Shelton to play better. They felt really good about his training camp. And that was a rough, first game and a rough matchup. And, you know, I also think too, he goes back to run game, screen game, just things that can make this offense work a little easier. Set up some easy plays for these guys to gain positive yards, build some confidence, and be able to kind of set the tone in the trench as opposed to letting the other side set it for you.
The irony is not lost on me when you say seen enough of Nate Davis. I would argue I didn't see enough of him when I needed to, and now we're in this situation over here. But that's neither here nor there.
Fish, Austin Booker was the talk of training camp, and there was a very high level of excitement. We also saw on Hard Knocks all of the confidence that Ryan Poles had. He's like, you're going to like this kid. I know this kid. When they make the move to pop up and grab him. And we're reminded once the season starts that it's not training camp anymore.
Yeah, Dan, I was just going through back to my snap counts from that game. Booker did not play at all in the fourth quarter, which is, you know, when the Titans were kind of having to go a little pass first late in that game. I think there's a few things. Obviously, you've got, as you said, it's a rookie in his first game. It's a fifth-round rookie who didn't have a ton of college experience. And you have all those things. I obviously think, too, Daryl Taylor was so good last week. Like, that's somebody – and DeMarcus Walker had a great game. So those are guys you're not going to necessarily want to take off the field. You certainly want to keep Montez Sweat out there as much as you can. This is going to be a unique situation for that defense because the Texans can hit you so many different ways with the way Joe Mixon ran the ball. And we know what Stroud can do with that receiving group. So I think that defensive line rotation is going to be interesting. And I'm sure you guys have talked about it earlier in the week, but that long touchdown run the Titans got on the Bears. Austin Booker was in the game. They ran it at Austin Booker. Not to say he was necessarily at fault for it, but that was not an ideal personnel group in the Bears had on the field. So, you know, if he's out there, you'd prefer maybe the third down package where he's out there with Walker and Billings and Sweat. But again, I go back to Daryl Taylor. He earned that spot. He's going to continue to earn more reps in that spot. And I think, again, Booker's your four defensive end. It's just going to be game situations. And if you're playing a team that's going to pass the ball more often than not, maybe we see more of Booker. But you're right, it was a reminder that he's going to take a little bit of time, a little seasoning, to get into a groove where you're playing him more often.
Kevin, what's the conversation like when you're hearing about C.J. Stroud and how he's being described and how to kind of chip away at him and take him back down to a civilian, if you will?
Yeah, you know, the thing about Stroud is he's got such incredible arm talent. Like, he is the – here we go, cliche time. He can make every throw. Like, from any part in the field, and he's got the receivers to do it. So, you know, the Colts got a lot of pressure on him. They sacked him 4 times. I believe they hit him 10 times. And then you look at his numbers, and they don't reflect the guy who was under a lot of duress in that game, 24 of 32, the 2 touchdown passes. So I think I go back. I keep harping on the Mixon thing. I mean, think about the Texans and C.J. Stroud. If they're getting 150 yards rushing from their top running back, That's just really tough. So I think the Bears are going to have to find ways to make Stroud uncomfortable. And clearly the Colts showed you a bit of a blueprint in terms of gain after him. But then, you know, you lean on your corners. I mean, this is why you've boasted, and I think rightfully so, that you might have the best secondary in football. This is their guy's opportunity. You're on prime time in a main stage, Jalen Johnson, Kyler Gordon, Tyreek Stevenson. Like, this is a huge opportunity for them to show the league how good they are. I don't think that that's too much braggadocio for them. They are really, really good. But this is a game where Stroud can make all those throws. And if you can't get to him in the pocket, can those corners make plays in the football?
Velus Jones, active, inactive?
Ooh, you know, I'm guessing inactive, Dan. You know, they did this with him a couple of years ago where he was inactive for, I want to say, 5, 6, 7 games in the middle of the season when he had that problem in New York and Washington, I believe. So, like, his spots he plays on the other special teams units are not spots that Tyler Scott plays. but I'm sure they have other guys who can play those roles.
Yeah, forget that. No, I'm glad you pointed that out, because I think we forget how specified. We just say can play special teams or can't, but there are very specific jobs that, even though you're both wide receivers or both have, you know, similar size and speed, there are jobs that some do that others don't. I'm glad you reminded us of that.
Right, because if you watch that pump block touchdown, Valus Jones is right there in the middle of that line. He was near Daniel Hardy when Daniel Hardy made the rush. That's not a spot you're putting Tyler Scott. And then Valus, like you saw it on Hard Knocks, he's their top backup gunner on the punt team. So, and again, that's not a spot that Tyler Scott's going to play. So if it's a one-for-one, you have to make sure you have the right guys to take Valus Jones' spot in those positions. I wonder if this is also a message send situation where it's just like, listen, we can't have a guy make that big of a mistake in a game and then just activate him the next week as much as we believe in him. Because what message does that send when he's a guy who doesn't play? You're not talking about a starter, a regular. So I don't know if that's the way they'll play it. But, you know, again, it comes down to, do they feel good about the guys who could fill those roles? And the other thing, too, if you think you have to score a lot of points on Sunday, do those four touches he gets on offense, are those important enough to your game plan?
No.
Right. So again,
I can answer. That's not a rhetorical question. The answer is no.
And Dan, it should be no, because you should have other options in your disposal to attack that you don't need those snaps. So that would be my guess. But you know, maybe it's going to be 5 or 6 weeks inactive. Then he comes back. I'm not sure, but I do think the receiver injuries thing also will play a role in that decision as well.
When was the last time a player had this long a leash, as we're seeing with Valus Jones Jr.?
I do feel like a lot of guys in the Bears, like over the years,
have had long leashes.
Yeah. I do feel like in the Phil Emery era, there was a lot of guys to, you know, draft picks who, but like the one thing, and the listeners of this segment know that I'm a Valus Jones truther, and like I'm the Valus Jones conspiracy theorist, not even conspiracy theorist, because I don't get worked up over it when he's only playing like 8 snaps. Like, it's just hard for me. So I get what you're saying, Marshall, and but it's just like, this isn't like a starter who's taking snaps away from somebody who should be in those positions.
But is he taking snaps away from somebody who should be getting that time on the field to do, like a Khalil Herbert or whoever else you want to say?
So that's a good question, because I think, for example, that Khalil Herbert should have had more carries last week.
Okay.
And should those carries that Valus Jones got have gone to Herbert? I would argue. Now, look, Valus was effective in those few touches when on offense. For the way the offense played last week, those were three like the best plays of the game.
But that says more about the overall offense, though, right?
Yes, 100%. So I do think that this is a better game to have Khalil Herbert running the ball. I'm curious to see if Roschon Johnson's up. And by the way, speaking of Roschon Johnson, he's probably the guy who can play those special teams roles that Valus Jones plays.
Okay,
so that could be your answer. So, you know, like I don't get. Again, I don't get worked up about him like being on the roster, being on the game day lineup, because I'm not sure like how many touches he's taking away from other people. So yeah, look, top 3 round pick, you do want to give him extra time.
Kevin Fishbane, thank you as always. Look forward to talking next week.
All right, take care, guys.